Okay, I think we're good to go if we could have everybody's attention. First of all, thank you all for coming to listen to us this morning. I'm Kirk Norris. I'm President and CEO of the Iowa Hospital Association. And our organization is here with several other organizations to speak to the issue of the expansion of Medicaid. Now, although all these organizations are listed on the placard to my left, this is not a formal coalition. All of these organizations and representing their membership have come to support expansion of Medicaid for their own reasons. And I'm here this morning to talk about why the hospital community is in unanimous support of expanding the Medicaid program. First of all, we believe that it's at least a win-win, if not a win-win-win for Iowa. It definitely would be a win for the 90,000 additional Iowans that we could provide insurance coverage to. It definitely would be a win for state government because it would save state government money in the initial phases, and I'll speak to that in a second. But it would also be a win for Iowa business in terms of job creation and economic activity. I'm going to speak to that as well. For the first time in nearly 50 years, and the only time with the unprecedented support that we're going to receive from the federal government by way of the federal government paying for 100% of this additional population's insurance coverage, the state of Iowa can reach out to those in need and provide insurance coverage to 90,000 Iowans. Iowa hospitals support it for the following reasons. Now, all of our organizations have electronic media, social media, and you can go and get all the detail that you need. So I'm just going to quickly hit three or four bullet points as to why hospitals support it. And I also want to respond to some of the opposing views that we've heard so far in response to Medicaid expansion. First and foremost, the reason that Iowa hospitals support expanding Medicaid is that we'll provide insurance coverage to 90,000, up to 90,000 more Iowans. Secondly, it will lead to improved health of those 90,000 Iowans. Thirdly, it will make Iowa business more competitive by mitigating the current cost shift that occurs to private insurance when uninsured individuals present themselves for care at the hospital. Fourthly, it will lead to jobs and improve Iowa's economy in an industry that currently provides a $6 billion impact to Iowa's economy and employs 70,000 individuals. It will also save the state, as I mentioned earlier, approximately $90 million in general fund dollars, which the state could set aside in a trust fund and use for future demands of the Medicaid program. I'd like to switch and respond to some of the opposing views you've heard to expanding Medicaid. The first one that you've heard is that IoCare, which is a limited expanded Medicaid program, which Iowa has operated for the past several years, is an alternative to provide coverage to these 90,000 individuals. It is not. No matter what type of changes you make to the IoCare program, it will not cover 90,000 more individuals. You've also heard the argument that expansion is not a guarantee to improved outcomes and greater quality. Quite the opposite is true. We've placed out around the room about 50 copies of the 2013 Triple Aim report that the Iowa Hospital Association puts out for its members and for the general public, and sets forth several measures. These are measures that the federal government is currently using to evaluate how well and efficiently you're providing health care in your state. And it's broken down into three primary areas. It's broken down into quality, and it's broken down into community health status, and it's broken down into financial performance. Our overall state performance for the quality metrics is 20th in the country. I'm not going to detail these for you. Take a look at them, But there are some obvious ones that you'll see will not improve without providing insurance to those 90,000 individuals. Secondly, in terms of community health, things that the federal government is evaluating states on include lack of health insurance, overall health ranking, high cholesterol, percent of adults who are obese, and infectious disease. Take a look at our rankings and tell me how we'll improve those rankings without providing insurance to an additional 90,000 individuals through Medicaid. So, contrary to the argument that there are no guarantees that quality and outcomes will improve, there are, in fact is a guarantee that they will improve. Just look at the metrics. Lastly, I want to respond to the opposing view that failure to expand Medicaid is somehow the result of poor deal making by hospitals during the national health reform debate. It is not. I'm not going to go into detail on that, but we can go into a lot of detail on the substance if we need to in follow-up questions. Iowa hospitals believe there exists no good political or substantive public policy justification for state policymakers' failure to act on this historic opportunity that positively impacts all Iowans and specifically lifts up 90,000 of our fellow citizens. I'm going to turn the podium over now to Tony Boll with AARP.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm Tony Vola. I'm the state president of AARP and an advocacy volunteer. Thank you again for being here today. And I'd like to start by saying that I think that all Iowans expect our leaders to come together on solutions to improve health care in Iowa. We think that expanding Medicaid is a necessary piece of this solution. With over 380,000 members in Iowa, AARP strongly supports expanding Iowa's Medicaid coverage up to 133% of the federal poverty level. That will provide Iowans with accessible, quality health care coverage. Look at the numbers. What does 133% really mean? It equates to $25,390 annual income for a family of three, $20,123 for a family of two, $14,856 for single Iowans. Then you look at who are these people. Currently, there are 17,204 Iowans between the ages of 50 and 64 who have no health insurance and whose income falls within these levels. That, if you look in a perspective, is equivalent to the city the size of Coralville or Johnston. Along with the reasons the hospital associations have given, AARP supports this expansion because it will reduce costly emergency visits and potentially catch and treat at an earlier stage our growing epidemic of chronic disease in Iowa, and we know that these chronic diseases become a bigger problem as we age. It will help Iowans who have lost their job or are struggling to find jobs or struggling in their jobs without health benefits to get access to quality preventative care so that they can be healthier and more productive. Iowans deserve a better health care coverage system than we currently have and that we've all paid for throughout our working lives. AARP will work to ensure Medicaid is there for hardworking Iowans that need this coverage. AARP is but one of the many groups that you see on the sign that have signed up in this statement of support. And we proudly thank everybody for this support and backing this particular effort. As you can see from these groups, they're broad agreement, and it's time to expand Medicaid now. We may all have different perspectives, but we join here to inform our Iowa state leaders that this is just the beginning of our work, and you'll be hearing from all of us and all Iowans more in the near future. Thank you, and John McCullough.
Thank you, Tony. My name is John McCauley, and I serve as the Midwest Advocacy Leader for the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network. We are the nonpartisan advocacy arm of the American Cancer Society. And I'm happy to be here joining 48 other organizations to speak on behalf of expanding Medicaid in Iowa. We're here not as independents or Republicans or Democrats. We're here as Iowans committed to making this state the healthiest state with the highest quality of life. The American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network strongly urges Iowa to take full advantage of this opportunity to provide thousands of families with life-saving health coverage they need without having to face huge medical bills. To say no is to surrender to the status quo. It could mean a cancer diagnosis that comes too late, more expensive treatment, and a lower chance of survival. Plus, it would lead to more people going to the ER and a continuation of uncontrolled health care costs in our state. It is estimated that more than 17,480 Iowans will contract cancer this year. More than 6,200 will lose their fight against cancer in 2013, making it the second largest cause of death in our state. The American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network has a goal of reducing and eliminating cancer morbidity and mortality, but it cannot be realized without adequate health care. And Iowans seem to understand this. A poll our organization conducted last month showed that 57% of Iowa voters support accepting federal funds allocated to provide health care coverage by expanding Medicaid, while only 27% thought we should turn it down. The simple fact is individuals enrolled in Medicaid have better access to health care than those who are uninsured. If they get cancer, it's more likely to be discovered at an early stage as compared to those who are uninsured. Those individuals have also have better access to outpatient services, hospital care, prescription drug in Medicaid than those who are uninsured. Increased access to coverage is the gateway to reducing cancer in Iowa. So on behalf of the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network, we strongly urge all public policymakers in this state to accept the money because it will save money in the long run and it will save lives. Thank you, and Tom Chapman.
My name is Tom Chapman, and I'm the Executive Director of the Iowa Catholic Conference. I appreciate the opportunity to be here today and support the expansion of Medicaid. Our Catholic tradition teaches that health care is a basic human right, essential to protecting human life and dignity. Just 2 months ago, Pope Benedict told a meeting of healthcare workers that good health is a benefit that needs to be defended and guaranteed for all people, not just those who can afford it. At their core, healthcare choices are not just political, technical, or economic, but also moral. They are about life and death. Who can take their children to the doctor's office and who cannot? Who can afford decent health care coverage and who are left to fend for themselves? Health care reform especially needs to protect those at the beginning of life and at its end, the most vulnerable and the voiceless. And so for the 2013 session, the Iowa Catholic Conference supports making health care more readily available and affordable to all Iowans. The expansion of Medicaid is a welcome step in that direction. We look forward to working with legislators as they make important choices about how to strengthen and improve health care in the state. Thank you.
Well, we have this room reserved until 11 o'clock, so that gives us about 10 minutes for any questions from the press or anyone from the audience, for that matter.
As you know, Governor Branstad has said he's not going to accept this because he doesn't trust the federal government to commit to funding this for the long term. How do you convince him otherwise?
Well, I think government's job is to establish the priorities of today. And in fact, we have constitutional prohibitions against current legislatures or Congress establishing precedent for future Congress. So when we get down the road, five, six, 7 years. That's the job of everyone here that supports it, to continue to support it. Priorities are current day affairs, and they're things that will be established in the future. Did anyone else have a comment on that? If you want to indicate who you would like to respond to, I'm fine with responding to all of them, but
yeah. What kind of conversations, if any, have any of you had with the governor about this?
We've had conversations with the governor's office as far back as last spring, after the or summer after the Supreme Court decision. We continue to be in dialogue with the governor's office. They've shared their perspectives. I don't know that I've heard a perspective out of the governor's office or from any policymaker that there's no how, no way that we're going to move on Medicaid expansion. They've offered their perspectives as of this point in time, and this is an issue, contrary to other issues, that's a little less time sensitive. Quite frankly, the opportunity for Iowa is out there in 2013, 2014, 2015, 2016, definitely the first 3 years. One of the decision points is the expiration of the Iowa CARES program at the end of 2013. That's why it's prevalent now to move on this question.
Kirk, the governor's office has been indicating they're working on an alternative plan. Is there any room for compromise here?
I think there's always room for compromise in the political process. I don't know what that alternative plan is. The federal government has a lot of leverage in this process in terms of they have to approve whatever expansion efforts a state wants to pursue, including renewal of the Iowa CARES program. If that's what the governor's indicated, that's what they would like to do. I've already stated we don't think that that's a viable alternative, certainly the federal government's going to have something to say about that.
Kirk, yesterday the governor said that the hospitals need this expansion because you made a bad deal with the federal government taking this lower Medicare reimbursement and trying to make that Medicaid expansion. Yeah. And he said you should go to Washington and fix the problem there. Washington created.
You know, I've been working on Medicare and Medicaid equity for 25 years. And when I'm at the state level, state policymakers like to say, join arms with us on, you know, the federal government really doesn't treat you right on the equity front. And when I'm at the federal level, they want us to go, you know, push the state policymakers on Medicaid reform. What I'll say specifically about that is that deal making implies an arm's length transaction. There was no arm's length transaction. The federal government, through the CBO, did calculations with national accounting firms that indicated that with 30 million more Americans insured, there would be a windfall to hospitals of over $160 billion over 10 years. Because of that, they decided to reduce hospital payment by essentially an equivalent amount, $157 billion, over that same 10-year period. So hospitals actually contributed towards the payment of the cost of health reform. And what we're saying right now is if we do not accept the opportunity to take back what Iowa has contributed, which is $2.3 billion over 10 years, we further exacerbate this whole equity scenario between states as it relates to Medicare and now as it relates to Medicaid. So we don't agree with that perspective. Other questions?
Are you more confident than the governor that the federal government will keep its word this going forward beyond the first 3 years?
I'm 100% confident in the next 4 years that Medicaid is not likely to suffer a lack of support. Beyond that point in time, as I said earlier, every day, every year in a democracy, people have to fight for their priorities. And you know, one of the reasons why you have all the groups represented here is Medicaid does not historically have a constituency that can come to the state house. These are low-income folks with limited resources, and they don't hang around rotundas and the United States Capitol. And so organizations like those that you see represented here today generally speak on their behalf. I'm 100% confident that those organizations will be there speaking on their behalf just as they have been for the last 50 years. Other questions? think we have time for one or two more. Tony?
Yeah, well, if I could, I just want to bring it back to one thing from the policy question we had, or how are we going to convince the governor? I think it's a little broader than that. I think it's how are we going to convince all of our elected officials here in Iowa to do the right things for the American citizens, or for the Iowans. You know, the governor and the lieutenant governor are very good about going around Iowa and talking to individuals, and part of our challenge is to educate the individuals to make sure they understand what is here, so that when these conversations are held, whether they be with the governor, lieutenant governor, or whether they be with the elected officials, that they can join in that conversation and make sure that their voices are heard. You know, and I think that's why this group is together today, is to make sure that we get the information out, that we get the people involved, and we do what's right for the Iowa citizen.
Are your groups going to be asking members to lobby to contact the legislators?
Well, I mean, I don't think that will change anything we've done in the past. We always engage our membership. We always inform our membership. We always ask our membership to engage their elected representatives, whether it be, you know, out at public forums or whether we ask them to come in Des Moines. I don't think anything is going to change.
Other question?
That's a yes, Tony. That's a yes from all of our groups.
And probably from all of the groups around the room as well.
One or two last questions, anybody? Again, thanks for coming. You can get more detail on all of these organizations' websites, and certainly follow up with us as you need be. Thanks a lot.